you're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Snow blankets much of the north today, as we've heard, and we're looking at one of the primary ways to deal with slippery roads and sidewalks. One word, salt. More than 500,000 tons of it was poured onto our roads in Wisconsin last winter, trying to balance, though, the need for safe roads versus the risk of damaging our lakes. So what questions do you have about road salt? How do you decide how much to use on your driveway, on your sidewalks or parking lots? Have you ever tried an alternative like brine or sand? We're at 800-642-1234. Hillary Dugan is an assistant professor at UW-Madison's Center for Limnology, and she's studied lakes in Wisconsin and both poles for good measure, the Arctic and Antarctica. Hillary, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
So you recently went to a transportation department meeting about road salt. How is Wisconsin looking to change the way salt is applied, on these icy roads?
Yeah, it's been really interesting as an ecologist who studies sort of the tail end of where salt ends up. It's been eye-opening to work with the Department of Transportation and see how they're changing management practices. They're both concerned about, the economic cost of road salt, as well as the environmental impact and the impact on our infrastructure. And so they've been trying to switch their practices more towards liquid brine application. And so during the storm, you might see a little bit more brine on the roads than traditional road salt. And that's proven really effective in reducing usage through really just using less.
So what is exactly brine? What goes into it?
Yeah, so it's just taking traditional rock salt and mixing it with water into a salty, sort of a salty liquid, much like ocean water, except saltier. And it's sprayed on the road as opposed to rock salt being kind of distributed onto the road. And the problem with rock salt is a lot of it would just bounce off. It'd hit the road, the trucks are driving quickly, your car will drive past, and the rock salt ends up in the ditch where it's not being effective in helping public safety. It just is effective in polluting our fresh water. And so brine's been a good switch because it's sprayed on the road, and so it tends to stick to the surface. And you can get a lot more coverage with
good,
less salt.
Better coating, I
yeah,
imagine.
A better coating. And you can put it down before the storm, too. And so often you'll see these brine lines on the road. And so the brine's there when the snowstorm starts. It starts working right away.
It would seem the brine would be a more diluted concentration as well of, compared to, traditional chunky road salt.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends. The chunky road salt was just really, you could have really high concentrations if there was a lot of salt put down and concentrations at which you were just sort of wasting salt. And other times, if you didn't have enough salt, you might have really low concentrations that weren't proven effective. And so the brine kind of ensures a more consistent coverage. And it's easier to apply once you have the right infrastructure to do that.
Is it less expensive than the chunky salt?
It ends up being less expensive because you use a lot less salt. And so what counties have seen that are switching towards liquid application is they save so much money on purchasing salt that it pays for all of that infrastructure within the first year. So a huge economic savings for these counties that have switched to it. And at a state level, if we can reduce our use by 50%, which is what some of these counties are seeing, we're talking tens of millions of dollars of savings in purchasing salt.
Well, when you say what infrastructure is happening here by the savings, how much does it cost to convert a salt truck into a brine truck?
Yeah, so initially, I think a lot of the problem with the conversion was no one really knew how to do it because it was brand new. And so you have a salt truck. How do you convert it to a brine truck, or how do you build a sprayer? And so a lot of work went into just the research and development of that. But the DOT's figured that out, and there's a lot of knowledge transfer both between counties and with municipalities. And there's been a lot of investment in brine production, so facilities to produce brine. And once you have that and trucks that can carry brine and spray it, you can get up and running really quickly.
So you're seeing conversion more seamless now between the older technology of the rock salt and trying out the new brine system?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it took a while to get up and going, but once people figured out how to implement it and then actually have seen the savings, it's sort of a no-brainer that that's going to be the future of de-icing.
We're talking about road salt with Hillary Dugan from UW-Madison Center for Limnology. What questions do you have about salting roads and driveways or sidewalks? Are you a commuter? Have you noticed better road conditions in counties that use more brine? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Hillary, in Wisconsin, who decides how much salt or brine gets used on, you know, city, county, or state roads?
So that's a good question. I think it's changed a lot over the years. I mean, in the end, it comes down to whoever's driving the truck. But there is guidance at the state level that goes down to counties, that goes down to managers, that goes down to drivers. And really trying to dial that into a specific number of, you know, how many pounds per lane mile you use really depends on the weather. And so some of that's left up to the driver. But we've gotten a lot better at calibrating our machines and tracking how much salt we use. So as opposed to back in the day where, you know, you'd fill up your truck with salt and you wanted to come back empty, you know, more realization now that you really want to use only as much as you have to use. And if that truck comes back full of salt, that's great.
Let's go to Marcus now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus. What's your question?
Good morning. So I'm wondering how much is being lost for potential material to create friction, because with the rock salt, you actually have like chunks in the road to create some extra friction between tires and, you know, what might be a slippery road where, if I understand it correctly, the brine kind of goes into those grooves or whatever. Is there an application where both should be used?
Great question.
That is a great question. And I think using salt for friction is part of the problem of why we use too much salt. We should really be using sand or, you know, small gravel for friction, because it's not going to, I mean, it's not going to dissolve in the way salt will. So the point of using rock salt is it's supposed to dissolve into brine, which then melts snow. And so its purpose isn't for friction in the first place, but people end up using it for friction, which is part of the environmental problem. Instead, a lot of applicators will use a sand salt mixture. So you use some salt for melting efficacy, and then you use sand for that traction.
Yeah, where are we at with gravel and sand? How is it used? Is it just used as a complement, or sometimes can we just all out use the sand?
Yeah, I mean, you'll see a lot of sand applied, especially on municipal roads where you're not having high speed traffic. And so some cities have rules where they're only going to salt the major arterials and just sand sort of the side roads, you know, saying that we're going to plow them and sand them and there'll be enough traction to drive slowly. And so there's a lot of sand use in the state for sure.
How does sand impact our lake ecosystems?
So Wisconsin's pretty naturally sandy. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of sand naturally. And so we haven't seen too big of an environmental impact overall of sand use. That's not the case everywhere. There's some pristine lakes, especially in the West. I mean, Lake Tahoe is a good example where, you know, they have sand problems because it's not naturally sandy and they've added a lot of sand. And so there's places where that's a problem. That's not really the case in Wisconsin yet.
What about the brine and salt? What is the impact there on our lakes?
So the problem is that we have fresh water in Wisconsin. We have a lot of it, and everything that lives in it is adapted to living in fresh water. And so as we start increasing the salinity concentration of that water, we start seeing ecosystems that are stressed, and it also impacts our drinking water. So if we're getting drinking water from rivers or lakes or even shallow groundwater, we're starting to see higher salt concentrations in that, which has human health implications.
We're talking about the evolving science of fighting ice on our roads with Hillary Dugan from UW-Madison. Do you think the state is using too much salt on sidewalks and roads? Are there highways that you think need more salt? Have you seen salt eat away at your car or perhaps your shoes? Join in with your questions, your situation, your stories, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back with Hillary Dugan in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about road salt here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. With the average cost of road salt climbing, government agencies have experimented with brine, this watery salt mixture. And agencies dumped more than 5 million gallons of brine on our highways and streets last winter. That's according to the State Transportation Department. It's not even counting the amount of brine used by private companies or residents. So what questions do you have about brine or alternatives to chunky road salt? Have you tried using sand instead? Did it work for you or not really? What outcomes have you had? 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Hillary Dugan is an assistant professor at UW-Madison's Center for Limnology, and she stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now. Tina is joining us from Kenosha. Hi, Tina.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good.
I have a few comments. Number one, I think there's a reason that we're called the Rust Belt, and that because car manufacturing was here and rust was designed to make sure that we would keep buying cars. Number two, I lived in the Pacific Northwest for over 30 years, and they used primarily salt, and we're talking about elevations of 6,000 feet and mountain driving. And there was never a reason to use salt out there. Number three is the pollution that's happening to our lakes, and it's not slowing people down, the salt. And I think we should stop using it altogether because the roads and the potholes are all contributed to the salt that we're doing. The ecosystem is affected by the salt that we're putting into our lake, and we are just destroying it. After how many years that we have been using salt, it is not as effective as it should be, and it's ruining our environment.
Tina, thank you so much for the call. Is it possible to go salt-free?
I think it's possible to go salt-free in certain areas. We definitely use too much salt, especially when we think about places where we're not really driving quickly. I mean, we put piles of salt down in parking lots where, you know, there's very little traffic and people are driving slowly, and so we really need to rethink, you know, where we're using salt and why we're using it. You know, there's sort of two ends of the spectrum. What we're doing now, which is using over 500,000 tons of salt per year and have been for decades. And the other end of the spectrum is no salt. And so right now I think it's trying to find that happy medium where we maintain de-icing on, you know, major arterials and sort of bring the level of salting down on places where we don't need it. Tina brought up an interesting point about the Northwest not using salt, and you know, that's true, and they have a very different climate out west where it's drier. A lot of the snow evaporates pretty quickly. Sometimes it's colder and salt's not effective. As you go further north, people don't salt either because it's too cold for it to be effective. So we really live in this perfect climate zone where we do have a lot of icy conditions right below freezing. And so because salt's been so effective in our Wisconsin climate, we've used a lot of it. And we've come to expect the state to use a lot of it. So we expect when we go to the store that the parking lot will be salted and we can just wear, you know, our sneakers in the winter and walk across a dry parking lot. But maybe we have to change our expectations of living in a wintry state.
When you study the lakes, do you see after winter salt concentrations going down? How do our lake ecosystems absorb this salt?
Yeah, so what we need to remember is that every ounce of salt we put on the ground or use is going to end up in our water. Even though the salt we put in our water softeners is going to the sewage district and it's going to end up being flushed into a river. So every ounce of salt that we purchase ends up in the environment, whether that's lakes or rivers or groundwater. And so we see different trends in different areas, but in urban systems, we definitely see huge pulses of salt in the winter and in the spring during snowmelt, concentrations that are, you know, definitely not fresh water anymore.
What is that doing to our freshwater lakes and the whole, you know, all the fish?
Yeah, so it different species respond differently to salt concentrations. There's lots of evidence that certain amphibians and smaller species are affected at really low concentrations. What we have to remember, too, is that everything that's native to Wisconsin is adapted to freshwater. And so as we increase the salinity of our lakes and rivers, all we're doing is making these ecosystems more tolerant for invasive species. So, you know, we hear a lot about invasive species like zebra mussels. They come from a brackish environment in Europe. They don't care about the salt concentrations. And so if we're concerned about some of these invasive species taking over our rivers and lakes, adding salt to them is only helping them survive.
We're discussing road salt with Hillary Dugan from UW-Madison Center for Limnology. What questions do you have about salting roads, driveways, or sidewalks? We're at 800-642-1234. Frank called in to ask, how does calcium chloride, magnesium chloride, potassium chloride affect the environment, and which is best to use on driveways?
So all of those compounds are salts, and they all have chloride in them. And so in the end, they're all adding chloride to the environment. So they're having the same impact on our water. They're different in terms of their how effective they are. So magnesium chloride and potassium chloride are more effective at lower temperatures. They're also cost more. And there's also evidence that they're worse on infrastructure in terms of rusting. And so for the most part, people tend to stick to sodium chloride because it's cheap and because it's not quite as hard on infrastructure, although it is quite hard. But in certain cases where the temperatures are low enough and you still have ice, you'll see people use calcium and potassium chloride.
Is brine even tough on cars and shoes?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
that?
It's going to be tough in the same way that traditional rock salt is. So traditional rock salt, the way it works is when it snows, the water from the snow dissolves the salt. And so it ends up being a brine. In this case, we're just applying it as a brine mixture first. So either way, you end up with brine, and it's gonna rust your car.
We'll arrive at the same location.
Yeah.
Let's go to Josh now in Oak Creek. Hi, Josh.
Hi there. Yeah, I've been doing the automotive industry for 22 years, and yeah, there's always salt on the cars and everything, and the guys are always getting dripped on. But this new brine salt that came out a little while ago, that stuff, when it actually hits your skin coming off the cars, it actually leaves red marks and it burns. And you definitely don't want to get in your eyes. So I'd really love to know how that is happening and why. And, you know, what is it doing to the cars or anything else out in the environment, if that's the case? Because
sounds pretty toxic there. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a great answer for that, Josh. It's usually the brine that the counties are using is sort of traditional rock salt, just mixed with water to a concentration of 23%. So I'm not sure why it would be different from sort of salt brine that was made that ended up dissolving from traditional rock salt in terms of its how corrosive it would be to your skin. But obviously it's quite salty, and maybe there's other places that are using
or it
different
could be
formula.
Mixing with other chemicals that are on the body of the car and engine in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about roads and automobiles, there's a lot of different chemicals floating around.
Yeah, let's go to Andy now in Madison. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind about rock salt?
Well, years ago, when they first talked about liquid de-icing applications, there was a lot of talk about, I believe it was a beet sugar being in there instead of brine. And I was curious if that's ever come to happen.
Yeah, so you do see beet sugar being used. It's used because of it. It's because it's sticky. It actually helps salt adhere to the road, so it prevents that problem of sort of the salt just bouncing off the road into the ditch. The problem with beet sugar and any other kind of
What is beet sugar?
So, from beets, from the
beet,
vegetable
beet
okay. sugar,
beet sugar. carry on.
Yeah. So it's the problem with adding any sort of organic substance to the roads is that that beet sugar actually just acts as food for microbes and creates other water quality problems. So on a small scale, the use of beet sugar is fine. But if it was something that we were to use en masse across the entire state, we would see water quality problems stemming from that as well.
Andy, thanks so much for the call. Michael from Madison couldn't stay with us but wants to know if Wisconsin has considered the liquid mixture that thaws aircrafts and runways at airports instead of salt, that de-icing agent.
So that de-icing agent is very effective, but also contains a lot of pollutants in it. There's a lot of chemicals in there that you wouldn't want to just add to your roads and have that run off into your storm sewers. So airports have pretty elaborate ways of capturing that de-icing agent. I mean, it's regulated by the EPA. They can't let that get into the environment.
And when they're spraying it on the wings, that's mm-hmm. that they're spraying it at a really high pressure.
They are, and they're when you would notice if you're on a plane is that that plane will actually go over to a de-icing pad to be de-iced. And then they have to go to that specific pad because underneath that pad there's infrastructure to capture the de-icing agent because you just wouldn't want those pollutants released into the environment.
So where does this leave us? What should we be thinking as we approach winter with salt and brine and sand and all the other products out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should rethink how much salt we're using. And so as, you know, the average citizen, think about, you know, if you use salt on your driveway and sidewalk, think about if you need to, think about how much you're using. You know, the recommended amount you should apply to a driveway is about one cup of salt, which is actually very little. If you're applying more than that, it stops being effective. And so most people use too much salt if they're using salt. You know, we encourage people to get out there and shovel. It's hard sometimes, and I realize that, you know, salt is necessary at some point. But think about, you know, the stores you visit, and if their parking lot's full of salt, you know, maybe talk to the owner about their contractor and just try to, you know, generally spread the word that, you know, we're oversalting and there's a lot of steps we can take to easily bring down that total usage while still maintaining public safety.
Hillary, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Hillary Dugan is an assistant professor at UW-Madison Center for Limnology, and we've been talking about the science behind applying salt and brine to icy roads. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.